this is, in fact, the fact that each one of us is created in your image. And so, Lord, we pray that as we go through our week, we will be especially mindful of those who are lost and don't know you, and mindful of the grace we have received through you, and that out of that, Lord, it would just be obvious of our love for you, and that others might see that and ask about the hope that's in us. So, Father, thanks that we can come together. This is a morning we celebrate all the different ways we can serve here at PBC, or many of them, not all of them, but many of them. So we just ask your blessing on that and on the time together. Lord, thank you for your word and for our chance to study together. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning. Welcome to Forum Class. It is what we call Servant Sunday, so you can, on the patio, find out about many of the different ministries, probably none of the ones in which I'm involved in, because I'm just really bad at that kind of thing. But one thing I'm involved in that I'll mention for men is the road crew men's group on Wednesday morning at 6:30 to 7:30. So that's really a good midweek encouragement time for men. Now, I think right after the second service, there is going to be a potluck in the fellowship hall. So that would be wonderful if you wanted to stay around for that. We have some folks visiting with us, and that's always great. So I'll start. Demetrius, you want to just stand up and introduce yourself and please follow me.
Good morning, my name is Demetrius. I'll be teaching in Palo Alto in a month or so. So I'm just looking at the area and wanted to come and work with you to see what the church is like here at BCB.
BCB is a carcinogenic
company.
This is a great young guy. He just came up and introduced himself, and he's going to be teaching the fifth grade, so especially great for him. Actually, if anybody has good suggestions for where to rent, either in the Menlo Park or Palo Alto, Demetrius probably could give some good suggestions on that. I thought I saw some other folks that looked like they were here for the first time. I'm not just passing through to grab some goodies, but maybe that. Yeah.
My name is Terrence Dudley and my wife, Sarah. We just moved to the area, actually down in Monterey with the Defense Language Institute. I'm a U.S. Navy officer. But this is my mother, who's been attending PBS for many, many years. we're thrilled to be here. She's been attending, PBC for many, many years. But we are just very pleased to be here.
Say your names again for everybody.
Terrence and Sarah Dudley.
Terrence and Sarah, welcome.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks for having you.
Sorry.
PBS receives public funds. We do not. That's my knowledge. This is great. It actually started as PBF, Peninsula Bible Fellowship. It will end as PBC, probably. But anybody else, first time here? We've been doing something very unusual just for Terrence and Sarah and Demetrius. We've been going through kind of what we call the clean pages. So we go through long stretches fairly quickly of books like Isaiah. And that's not your typical Bible study always, but it's part of God's Word, and we feel committed to do that. So this morning, before Lambert comes up, he had asked Bob Thompson, who is licensed as the voice of God. And you know what? He takes all that good nature in there, which I appreciate, because I think he hears it almost every time somebody mentions his name. But Bob is going to come up and read Isaiah 36 through 39. Again, Martin Luther, before he would preach, I think would read the scripture out completely, because he said, if I got nothing else right, at least I got that right. So we're going to listen to Bob read from Isaiah 36 to 39 and then read. Oh, for our new folks, if you see a basket, that just covers our expenses. Don't feel any obligation.
Good morning. After an introduction like that, I'm ready to sit down. Am I coming through? All right. And you can hear me out there.
Yes.
Anybody that can't hear, just raise your hand.
Yeah.
We are going to read this morning from the New King James Version. So if you have some other version, words may be in a little different place, but they're common to say. If you will join with me in prayer this morning. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come before you as people of yours. God, our Father, we're asking you to open our hearts to receive your word and our minds to receive it with understanding, Lord, and our will to obey according to what you instruct. Father, teach us this morning from your word. In the name of Jesus, amen. In this area of scripture, it comes at the time of Hezekiah. And he is the king of Judah, or at this time. And it's a time in history in which the strong Assyrian country, which has been an opponent or an enemy of Israel for some time, will finally begin to decline and lose its importance biblically as an enemy of Israel. And just over the horizon peaks up Babylon, who will later, if you go on farther, will rise as a strong enemy of Israel. We'll start with, it's obvious, that's not right to see the book. We'll start with 36, chapter 36, verse 1 of Isaiah. Now it came to pass in the 14th year of King Hezekiah that Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and took them. Then the king of Assyria sent the Rabshakeh with a great army from Lachish to King Hezekiah at Jerusalem, and he stood by the aqueduct from the upper pool on the highway to the fuller's field. And Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, Shebna, the scribe, and Joel, the son of Asaph, the recorder, came out to him. Then Rabshakeh said to them, let me interrupt here, so this Rabshakeh is a title. It's not the name of any individual, but it's a title of a military leader, military head. He was the head in the Assyrian army. Starting back with verse 4. Then the Rabshakeh said to him, say now to Hezekiah, thus says the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this in which you trust? I say you speak of having plans and power for war, but they are mere words. Now in whom do you trust and that you rebel against me? Look, you are trusting in the staff of this broken reed, Egypt, on which if a man leans it will go into his hand, pierce it, So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who trust in him. Here he say that he's amazed at Judah giving him an argument. Who are you trusting in? If you're trusting in Egypt, forget it. Egypt's just like a walking stick. It's a weak, it'll break, and when it breaks, it'll pierce your hand because of the broken part. And so is Pharaoh. He's a weakling. Who are you trusting in? Verse 7. But as you say to me, we trust in the Lord our God, is it not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah has taken away and said to Judah and Jerusalem, you shall worship before this altar? And here he's saying, if you're trusting in the Lord that you say you have and your God, hasn't Hezekiah removed the altars and the high places? And Hezekiah had removed several of the altars of the high place, but what this leader didn't understand is that God had said that in the temple is the place that you are to worship him, and Hezekiah had removed these other altars so that the people would worship God in the temple. And he didn't understand this. Verse 8. Now therefore I urge you, give a pledge to my master, the king of Assyria, and I will give you 2,000 horses if you're able on your part to put riders on them. And once again, he says, if you're going to oppose me as an army, he says, I'll help you out. I'll give you 2,000 horses if you can put soldiers on them to come out and fight me. This is what little he thought of his opposition. Verse 9. Now then, would you repel one captain of the least of my master's servants and put your trust in Egypt for chariots and horsemen? Have I now come up without the Lord against this band and destroy it? The Lord said to me, go up against this band and destroy it. And here he is saying, it's the Lord that told me to come up here and destroy this land. I just want to interject here. This is an example of the opposition that we as Christians are going to receive from the world. They will try anything to discourage you. Anything. They will even go to as far as saying that they're the same thing that you are. The Lord's told them to do these horrible things to you. And you may find this on your jobs when you're working. You may find this in the peoples that you meet in various stores. If you have the mark of Christ on them, then you're going to receive opposition from many sides. Verse 11. Then Eliakim, Shebna, and Joah said to Rabshakeh, please speak to your servants in Aramaic, for we understand it, and do not speak to us in Hebrew in the hearing of the people who are on the wall. But the Rabshakeh said, has my master sent me to your master and to you to speak these words, and not to the men who sit on the wall, who will eat and drink their own waste with you? He's telling them, he was asked, don't speak in this language. People on the wall can hear me, you know, and speaking that in a language that we understand, but they don't understand.
So they won't get discouraged.
But he said, listen, listen. Did I come up here just to talk to you? Those people up there are going to suffer as much as you, because this place is surrounded. Nothing's going in and nothing's coming out. They're going to starve with you. This is what he's saying. Thus says the king, do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he will not be able to deliver you, nor let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, for this city will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Do not listen to Hezekiah. For thus says the king of Assyria, make peace with me by a present, and come out to me, and every one of you eat from his own vine and from his own fig tree, and every one of you drink of the waters of his own cistern, until I come and then take you away to a land like your own, a land of grain and new wine, a land of bread and vineyards. Beware lest Hezekiah persuade you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Has any one of the gods of the nations delivered its land from the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim? Indeed, have they delivered Samaria from my hand? Who among all gods of these lands have delivered their countries from my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem from my hand? But they held their peace and answered not a word, for the king's command was, do not answer him. Then Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, Shebna, the scribe, and Joah, the son of Asaph, the reporter, came to Hezekiah with their clothes torn and told him the words of the Rabshakeh. And so it was, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he tore his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord. Sackcloth is a symbol of humility. The king humbled himself and went to the house of the Lord. Then he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. And they said to him, thus says Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and rebuke and blasphemy. For the children have come to birth, but there is no strength to bring them forth. It may be that the Lord your God will hear the words of the Rabshakeh, whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to reproach the living God, and will rebuke the words which the Lord your God has heard. Therefore lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said to them, thus you shall say to your master, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid of the words which you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Surely I will send the spirit upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. Then the Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libna, for he heard that he had departed from Lachish. And the king heard concerning Jerhaka, the king of Ethiopia, he has come out to make war with us, with you. So when he heard it, he sent messengers to Hezekiah saying, well, let me pause here for a second. The Hezekiah sent the representatives. He went to the house of the Lord when he heard it in humility. And he sent in humility representatives of his to the prophet Isaiah. And they came to Isaiah bemoaning their fate and fearing. And Isaiah told them that the Lord said, don't be upset. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Then the story moves to the Red Shaggy, who went back to his leader, Sennacherib, and he found that Sennacherib had left where he was supposed to have been, or was where he had left him, and was engaging another city. Because he had heard the rumor that a strong king from Ethiopia was coming. And this was the rumor that God had promised that he would hear. And on the strength of that rumor, he moved his forces to another place. And after he received this report that Hezekiah wasn't giving in right away, and the city wasn't giving in to him, surrendering, he says, thus you shall say to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Now, look, you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by utterly destroying them, and shall you be delivered? He said, you don't be fooled. The king of Assyria, I have destroyed every land that I have gone into. I've taken it over. Don't be fooled by any thought that this God of yours is going to help you. Now I'm going away to handle another situation, but I'm going to be back. And you will be destroyed also, as all the others have. He said, have the gods of the nations delivered those whom my fathers have destroyed? Gozan and Haran and Rezeph and the people of Eden who were in Thalassah. Where is the king of Hamath, the king of Arpad, and the king of the city of Sepharvaim, and Hena and Ainath? And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers. He sent Hezekiah better with all of this thing. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Hezekiah went up to the house of God and spread the letter out. And he said, God, I know you know all about this. You're aware. He said, but I just want you to see this man who is insulting you, this man who is coming up against you, you are our God. And Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God. You alone of all the kings of the earth, and you have made heaven and earth. incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see and hear all the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Truly, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their lands, and had cast their gods into the fire. For they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord our God, save us from his hand, and that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord, you alone. Then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent to Hezekiah, saying, thus says the Lord God of Israel, because you have prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, this is the word which the Lord has spoken concerning him. Immediately, a prophet came to Hezekiah to let him know that God is heard. God hears each time in the prayer. And he said, because you come to me, because you brought this problem to me, this is what I have to say. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, has despised you. That you discord. The daughter of Jerusalem has shaken her head behind her back. Whom have you reproached and blasphemed? Against whom have you raised your voice and lifted your eyes on high? Against the Holy One of Israel. By your servants you have reproached the Lord and said, by the multitude of my chariots I have come up to the heights of the mountains, to the limits of Lebanon. I will cut down all its tall cedars and its choice cypress trees. I will enter its farthest heights to its fruitful forests. I have dug and drunk water, and with the soles of my feet I have dried up all the brooks of defense. Did you not hear long ago how I made it? From ancient times that I formed it. Now I have brought it to pass that you should be for crushing fortified cities into heaps of ruins. Therefore their inhabitants had little power. They were dismayed and confounded. They were as grass in the field and the green herb, as the grass on the housetops, and grain blighted before it was grown. But I know your dwelling place, your going out and your coming in, and your rage against me. Because you raged against me, and your tumult have come up to my ears, therefore I will put my hook in your nose, and my bridle in your lips, and I will turn you back by the way which you came. This shall be a sign for you. I'm speaking to Hezekiah. He said, this shall be a sign for you. You shall eat this year such as grows of itself, in the second year what springs from the same, and in the third year sow and reap plant vineyards and eat fruit of them. And the remnant who have escaped for the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go a remnant, and those who escape from Mount Zion, the seed of the Lord of hosts will do this. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the kingdoms of Assyria. He shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it in shield, with shield, nor build a siege around it. By the way he came, by the same shall he return, and he shall not come into his city, says the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it, for my own sake, and for my servant David's sake. Then the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when people arose early in the morning, there were corpses, all dead. The angel of the Lord sent the angel out. And while they sleeping, he killed 185,000 of their troops, of their soldiers. And when the others woke up, they found their fellow soldiers lying dead. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went away, returned home, and remained at Nineveh. Now it came to pass, as he was worshipping in the house of Nisroch his god, that his sons Adrammelech and Sherezer struck him down with the sword, and he escaped into the land of Ararat. Then Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his place. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord and said, "Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart and have done what is good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, saying, "Go and tell Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer and have seen your tears. Surely I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend the city. And this is a sign to you from the Lord that the Lord will do this thing which he has spoken. Behold, I will bring the shadow on the sundial," which is going down, "with the sun on the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward." So the sun returned 10 degrees on the dial by which it had gone down. And to explain, after he had been told, Hezekiah had been told that he would die, he turned his face to the wall and began praying to God, saying, "God, I've been your man here. I've been your representative. I have done the things that you wanted me to do. Just to remember that I'm the one who has obeyed you. I've been faithful." And well, to give you more of a perspective, Hezekiah was around 39 years old at this time, so he wasn't aged. But and immediately, and God hears whenever, and God heard me, and so he sent Isaiah back to him in a hurry, and told him,
Well, I'm going to tell you, I will give you 50 more years to live, you see. And Hezekiah, we have a jump here, and the jump is, it tells what Hezekiah had begun writing when he was sick. He was very sick. He was expected to die, and so he was writing about it, and halfway through his writing, Isaiah returned and told him that he would live, and Hezekiah went on writing. So the writing takes an abrupt change, naturally, right there. And so as we're reading through the scripture, I will pause at the place where it makes its change, so you understand why it starts writing differently. This is the writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick. He had been sick and had recovered from his sickness. I said, in the prime of my life, I shall go to the gates of Sheol. I am deprived of the remainder of my years. I said, I shall not see Yah, the Lord, in the land of the living. What he's saying here is, I will not see the workings of God. I will not see the work of Yahweh. I will not see the workings of Yahweh, the hand of God, in the land of the living. I hear. And he said, in the prime of life, he's a young man, and he feels that he's as far as life is concerned, and he's going to die. My lifespan is gone. Taken from me like a shepherd's tent. I have cut off my life like a weaver. He cuts me off from the loom, from the day until night. You make an end of me. I have considered until morning like a lion. So he breaks all my bones from day until night. You make an end of me like a crane or a swallow. So I chatter. I mourned like a dove. My eyes failed from looking upward. Oh Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. And here is the cause. And Isaiah covenants of what shall I say? He goes on to write. What shall I say? He has both spoken to me, and he himself has done it. I shall walk carefully all my years in the bitterness of my soul. Oh Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So you will restore me and make me live. Indeed, it was for my own peace that I had great bitterness. But you have lovingly delivered my soul from the pit of corruption. For you have cast all my sins behind your back. For Sheol cannot thank you. Death cannot praise you. Those who go down to the pit cannot hope for your truth. The living man, he shall praise you. As I do this day, the Father shall make known your truth to the children. The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore, we will sing my songs with stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. Now, Isaiah has said, and this gives what had happened in the break. As Isaiah had said, let them take a lump of figs and apply it as a pole to something boil, and he shall recover. This was in his sickness.
Isaiah had come and said to make a coat and some pigs to put on. It's possibly he might have had the cancer like another Noah, and when he was dying, and we know that things aren't hardly going to stop somebody from dying, but with God, all things are possible. We can remember Naaman when he had to go dip into the sword 7 times to be cleared of leprosy. And it's clear God does things differently at different times for different people. And Hezekiah had said, "What is a sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord?" And this was in the interview, he asked, "So what's the sign?" And this is what Isaiah told him, that the sundial would go back to the roots. But let me explain that a minute. If the sundial doesn't go backwards in the roots, no, it doesn't. If he had said going forward, okay, that might happen because a dark cloud may come before the sun and cause the shadow to move. But the shadow doesn't go backward. And scientists have been upset a bit about that, trying to explain how the sundial went backward. They say we see the light, just use the light. But of late, the scientists have found that it has happened that this Earth itself has shifted sometimes on its axis. And this could cause the sun and the Earth's relationship to the sun for the shadow to go back that amount. So it's quite possible. At that time, Merodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he heard that he had been sick and recovered. And Hezekiah was pleased with him and showed him the house of his treasures, the silver and the gold, the spices and the precious ointments, and all his army, all that was found among his treasures. There was nothing in his house or in all his dominion that Hezekiah did not show them. Then Isaiah the prophet went to King Hezekiah and said to him, "What did these men say, and from where did they come to you?" So Hezekiah said, "They came to me from a far country, from Babylon." And he said, what have they seen in your house?" So Hezekiah answered, "They have seen all that is in my house. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them." Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and what your fathers have accumulated until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. And they shall take away some of your sons who will descend from you, whom you will beget, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." So Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "The word of the Lord which you have spoken is good." For he said, "At least there will be peace and truth in my name." The first letter that Hezekiah took to the house of the Lord to have God review it for him, words of wisdom, was when Hezekiah was under duress. He was under attack, and he didn't know which way to go, which way to turn, or to whom to turn. And God gave him an answer. But this letter flattered Hezekiah. I dare say it might have mentioned how great Hezekiah was for having driven away the Assyrians, and what a wonderful person he was for having gone through this great sickness, and he was well again and strong, and it flattered him, and he didn't take it to God. He just took care of that himself. I think this is something to tell us that not only when things are going badly and we don't know which way to turn and we don't know whom to talk to, that we go into our secret place and get on our knees and talk to God, Lord, I don't know what to do. That's when things are bad and God takes care of it. But there comes a time when everything is going good, when everything is right, when everything is wonderful, and you say, well, Lord, I don't need you now. Everything's just great. I can take care of things. But that's the time that you really need God and need God's leadership. Needs God's counsel when things are going good. For in the 15-year interim, he had a son who was the worst king, became the worst king that Israel had ever known. And not only that, this was setting up that Babylon would eventually come and take everything. And I do mean everything. Because he did not seek the counsel of God when things are going good. When things are going well, let us look to God and say, thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. And where do I go from here, Lord? And how will we do from here? Not only when things are bad, but when things are good. I thank you.
Question. Bob, there's a question or two.
Yes, he should have asked for the 15 years. It was all right. He should have consulted God about what to do during that 15 years.
What a prayer.
Bob, that was wonderful. I'm just amazed by the commentary and then the preaching. Father, we do, boy, what a vivid picture this paints of trusting you when things are bad, and then, boy, can we relate to the I'll take it from here mentality we have when things are going good. And frankly, for many of us in this area, relatively speaking, things do go well compared to a lot of places in the world. And we pray that that would not be a barrier to us trusting you. Keep us on our knees. Help us to know what to do when things are going well. Keep us generous, humble, before you, Lord. So thanks for our brother Bob and this time. And we won't forget soon. What a wonderful thing to hear this long stretch and to hear what was happening in that period and in order to have it make an imprint, a lasting imprint on our hearts. So thank you, Father, for this. In Jesus' name.